Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 11th installment in the Halachos of Chametz on Pesach. A very interesting aspect of Hilchos Pesach is the level of stringency we apply to Chametz being mixed into food, a mixture. It's actually quite surprising. So the scenario that so many people have heard before is true. If a person has a large pot of chicken soup cooking for Pesach, and then there's one little grain of wheat that falls in. Now, for the record, wheat is not fundamentally chametz, but once wheat mixes with water for an extended period of time, it does have chametz status. So if one little grain of wheat mixes into the big vat of soup on Pesach, the halacha is that the whole soup is prohibited to eat. It's a very striking halacha. And it's particularly surprising because so many of us are aware that, for example, when it comes to meat and milk, or when it comes to normally kosher and non-kosher, if you had a large vat of chicken soup, of real chicken soup with chicken in it, gosh, let's even go further, a meat-based soup, not even chicken, but a meat-based soup, Torah-defined meat, and a little drop of milk fell in, as long as the total volume of the soup is at least 60 times the drop of milk, the soup is okay. So why then, by chametz on Pesach, all of a sudden, do we say this thing that even a very small amount of chametz that mixes into the soup renders the entire soup chametz thick? It's a very surprising thing. Let me just clarify that the answer is not an attempt to make skyrocketing prices for Pesach. That's nothing having to do with that. This is actually a real halacha. There are some reasons brought down as to why this would be the halacha. One possibility is that the nature of the prohibition of eating chametz on Pesach is uniquely severe. We know, I think we made reference to this earlier in the series also, we know that if a person eats a kezias of chametz on Pesach, he's chayiv kares. Knowingly, understanding that's prohibited, etc. He's chayiv kares, which is a very severe punishment and a very unique and rare punishment. So that tells you how serious the prohibition of eating chametz on Pesach is. So according to one view, the rabbis thought about that and they said, wow, if that's the law, so it must be that God wants us to know. I mean, this is based on a verse in the Torah. It must be that God wants us to know it's extremely serious to eat chametz on Pesach. So therefore, because this is such a severe law, we're going to be uniquely strict about it, that even mashahu, even an infinitesimal amount of chametz in a mixture renders it prohibited. One possibility. Another possibility is the rabbis found the need to be uniquely stringent with chametz on Pesach, because there's a very significant aspect that concerned the rabbis, which is lo bedili in shimine, which means chametz is not something we're naturally separating ourselves from. You know, we talked about this certainly earlier in the series. A person gets up at 2:30 in the morning and they come downstairs and they see Cheerios. They're not naturally repulsed from it. We eat Cheerios all the time. If a person gets up at 2:30 in the morning, they come downstairs and they see bacon, they probably, even if they're groggy, will be very disinclined to eat it because, you know, the vast majority of us have been staying away from bacon either for our entire lives or for a very long period of time. So chametz, though, is different. So the rabbis needed to make chametz uniquely strict, and they needed to set even stronger fences around the prohibition of chametz because of the fact that they were worried that people would cross that barrier if they sensed anything less than full diligence about chametz mixing in, because it's so easy to make the mistake. Another possibility is the fact that chametz is prohibited in Hana, that we're not allowed to derive benefit from chametz, which is also unique among prohibited foods. Most prohibited foods are just prohibited to eat, and chametz we're not even allowed to derive benefit from on Pesach, so maybe that's the reason the rabbis were more stringent. Finally, another possibility is there's a unique category in halacha called davar she'esh lo matirin, something that if you wait long enough, it'll become permissible. So chametz on Pesach would seem to be a good example of that. you know, if you wait out that those 8 days or 7 days in Israel, the chametz is permissible again. So the normal rule is that the rabbi said that ways in which things normally become permitted, let's say through majority or 60 times or something like that, we don't apply that mechanism for something that if you just wait long enough will become permissible on its own. That last reason is somewhat questionable because of the laws of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. The bottom line is this is the law that an infinitesimal amount of chametz in a mixture does render prohibited for any of these possible four reasons. We'll talk tomorrow about one more application of this, but this is a very real halacha. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.